Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Charlie, who is currently a teacher, having worked in the charity sector previously. He's speaking about his experience of being a teacher. Charlie's passion and enthusiasm about teaching really shines through, and how much he sees teaching as his vocation is inspiring. So Charlie, what were you doing before you became a teacher?
So before I went into teaching, I worked for the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I've volunteered with the SVP since I was a teenager. So yeah, I converted to Catholicism when I was about 13. And there was an absolute icon of a woman in our parish called Joanna, and she got us all involved in SVP. So it was in the youth SVP group. We used to go to the kind of old people's home on a Saturday morning. We used to go and play cards with them and have cups of tea with them, which was lovely. We used to run a food bank. We used to go and do fundraising. It was really good. And then, so I carried on with that when I was through uni as well. And then, lo and behold, when I was my final year, there was a job going in the Young Interventions team. And yeah, it was an amazing job. Got to go all around the country, visit loads of different schools, engaging young people in social action, getting them involved in kind of the idea that faith isn't just about prayer and about this kind of formal relationship with God, but it's also about our social action, how we can create, you know, the kingdom of God here in our communities. And that was everything kind of that SVP was about, was transforming our communities through social action. So yeah, it was, I had the best time. But going through all these schools, it anyways sets that kind of seed in your mind. You're like, oh, being in school is great. Like, the best part about my job was working with young people. So I was like, I should probably do this a bit more often. So yes, that's what I was doing before I came into teaching. A bit of a segue into teaching then as well.
Were you not tempted by chaplaincy then?
I suppose it would have been very tempting to go into chaplaincy. I think for me, a chaplain has an amazing role within a school and really kind of nurtures and really supports the faith of students in school, which is phenomenal. But I wanted to be in the classroom teaching ideas, because at the end of the day, I'm a big nerd. I love books, love reading, and I just fell in love with theology. So part of what I also wanted to do was nerd out about my subject. There's selfish reasons in there as well. So I think being a teacher rather than a chaplain was a part of that, and it was part, a lot more on my character to talk about the academic-y bits more than just faith. That, and I think there's so many amazing chaplains already and there are amazing teachers, but I think there was a certain mission for me being in the classroom and helping students get their GCSEs and getting their A-levels, to achieving everything that they want to achieve or everything that they feel God's calling them to achieve. So there was something, there's a particular mission around that as well. So there's a few elements there why I didn't go into chaplaincy and I went into teaching in the end. But
so did you feel God's influence in deciding on teaching?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I always thought, I've always loved learning things. That's far from me saying I'm a good student, but I love learning things. So, but it's a part of me learning, of loving learning things, is then sharing that with other people. So I think certainly there's gifts there that God has put in within me on not just loving learning, but really getting excited telling other people about it. I think Julie knows too well about when we used to sit around in our community dinners and somebody would, you know, regrettably, they would ask me about my dissertation, and then, you know, the next 15 minutes of dinner was hijacked about me telling them about something to do with ecclesial teachings and doctrine. But so it was something about that, of sharing kind of what you know and what you're passionate about. I think it was particularly a gift that's definitely instilled there by God, and you can feel you'd spend time over years praying and figuring out what God's put within you and what he's called you to, and to slowly tapping away at that, revealing that. And then you're like, ah, that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
So how did others react to you decide that you were going to go into teaching?
It was a big segue going from, or what it felt like a big segue, for so many years working in the charity sector and working on international development, working with loads of different organisations. So before I was even working with the SVP, I was working with other organisations. So I worked with Ultracosa in Peru for a while. I worked at with VSO in Uganda. So it did feel like, my parents anyway, a real shift into a completely different career path. And they felt it was, I was always so excited about doing charitable work. So yeah, there was definitely a bit of a shock for people, but also not at the same time, because unsurprisingly, a huge part of charity work is admin. And if you know me at all, Julia, admin is perhaps not my absolute strongest point. And so there was a realization that actually probably a stronger element of my skill set was probably around working with people and being with people and bouncing off people. So yes, certain elements there as well.
It's really interesting that you decided to change your career at this particular point in your life. What made you decide to do it, and how did that feel?
I think I've already said I was visiting all these different schools. I was working with young people, and that was my favourite part of my job, was working with young people. It was a bit difficult thinking about changing career. So I studied international development for my undergrad, and I went in and did my master's in theology because I wanted to work in faith-based charity sector, which is what I was doing. So I'd kind of had everything lined up, and I thought, brilliant, this is what I'm doing. And throughout university, I was working ferociously all the time with different charities, and I was like, brilliant, this is me set, this is what I was going to do. And I had visions of where I was going to go, but then when you get that feeling of I think for my skill set, I should be moving somewhere else. And so that was the kind of dawning moment of when I was, visiting these schools and thinking, this is the move I should be making. I think initially it can feel like a big change to change career, and particularly to retrain as a teacher, because you have to undergo basically a whole degree again. You have to do your QTS and PGCE, which, by the way, you can do whilst you are teaching. So it wasn't the end of the world, but certainly it can feel daunting. But at the end of the day, that's, I think, when you know, you know. So it was a bit of a leap of faith. And when my first couple of weeks in school, I was like, no, this is absolutely the right decision. You know, so that change of career can be challenging. And it can be maybe particularly the people around you as well. So whether that's your partners, your husband, wife, your parents, feel like a shift, a bit of a change. But it's fine. That's life. It can be a bit daunting, but there's no reason why what you study at university has to define what you do. You know, there's no reason why you can't shake things up, change things a little bit. And that's the joy of university. You can always go back and retrain. I think we lived with somebody when we was in community who did the exact same thing, went from finance into psychology, and that was a huge change. But now they love their job. They're changing people's lives, and it's beautiful. I think it's a great thing.
I also think it's something of our generation that it's more acceptable to change career. I think our parents' generation, they finish school or university or whatever, and they got that job, and then they stayed in that job. But now I think there's more fluidness in careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so much pressure when you're at school. You know, what's your career, what are you going to study at university, and that's going to define what you're doing, which I think is unhelpful, because it means that actually from a young age we were forced to choose a career that we didn't necessarily want to do. We were kind of almost pushed into, and then you can end up going to university studying something which not everybody is always entirely sure what they're studying. I see this in my A-level students all the time. But I always remind them, it's not defining. You know, you can always change it up, shift it about.
So have you had any moments in teaching that have cemented your yes?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in my trainee year, my mentor was like, so how are you finding it? You don't want to leave, do you? I was like, absolutely not. This is like exactly where I'm supposed to be. My first week teaching was, I mean, as any trainee will know, is daunting. It's like a real change. And it is a big challenge being in the classroom, particularly that first week. But it's exciting. It's a pure adrenaline. And you're being kind of forever creative and responsive. So that was really exciting. And I've just started in a new school this year, this academic year. And yeah, I mean, the headmaster keeps catching me saying, why are you always smiling? I was like, I love it. How can you not love teaching in the classroom? So yeah, no, for sure. There's a certain piece, isn't there, when you say yes to something, when you feel God's called you to something. It can be quite daunting, quite scary. You say yes to it, and then you're like, oh my word, what have I done? Is this the right thing? And then you're in it and you feel that peace. You're like, no, this was it. This was great.
Has it matched up to your expectations?
It's very different. I mean, you can have a whole view and vision of what you expect teaching to be like. You can, you know, you have, I don't know if you've ever seen the Dead Poets Society. I thought I was going to be Robin Williams, the most amazing, inspirational teacher. I was going to be quirky and fabulous, and I was going to have this great aesthetic. And it's not the case.
You mean your students don't think that about you?
They do think I have the groovier socks. Many a student has tried to compete with me on my mismatched groovy sock game. And as they themselves will attest, nobody has yet beaten me. So. Yeah, so I think, yeah, at least on the sock game, I'm strong. So yeah, did it meet my expectations? No, but it definitely surpassed them. So I think this is the same with anything. You know, we have dreams of what our life is going to be like, you know, who we're going to be with, or what we're going to do. And we have that vision or that plan. We're like, yes, that's what it's going to be. And then God's laughing. He's like, I've got something even better. You just kind of like need to roll with it. So no, absolutely. It's so much better than I was expecting it to be. But of course, the visual and what you intend it to be is very different, but definitely for the better.
Has your previous experience of working in the charity sector impacted the way you are as a teacher?
I think so. I definitely do things differently, I think, than other teachers in my department and the other teachers I kind of work alongside. I think I'm very mission and vision focused. So that's very kind of charity sector. I deeply care about the students in front of me. And the reason why I went into charity sector is because I was deeply concerned about social justice issues.
Are you the teacher that runs the social justice club?
So I worked in a Catholic school for a while and certainly was running ahead with SVP groups. And then we also ran we collaborated with different schools in the district. And it was all to do around social justice, but also public speaking. There was different elements there. So certainly was that teacher that was trying to collaborate and get students to work together.
You just mentioned that you've worked in a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So for people who might not be as aware, how does it differ from being in a Catholic school to a non-Catholic school?
I think it's really interesting that the Catholic school I worked in was in a very deprived area, and it faced a lot of challenges. But my time in the school, I loved it. And the quotation of the school, the motto of the school was to serve. And you saw that throughout the school. So you can imagine, I'm sure, you know, you got Waterloo Road in your mind of this school in a private area, and not too far wrong, really. But the children would hold the door open for each other. They would still expect to be kind with each other. And often when they realised that they weren't being as kind as they should be, they were actually very honest and upfront about it. They were courteous to each other. They would, so many times students would, you know, go to get me a chair or, try and do things to help you out, which was really different from any other school I'd been in. So certainly that Catholic culture there of service, of compassion, was embedded in there, which was really beautiful to see. And the sense of community and identity and solidarity was really strong. So there was a really sad and tragedy happened whilst I was at the school. So a death occurred. And the way that the school came together was so deeply moving. And the way that students support each other, again, was so deeply moving that I've not seen in the other schools I've worked in. So there is something unique and special about a Catholic school, for sure. Not that one is better than the other. They're just very different. But yeah, something unique.
Makes sense that they're different and have their own positive and strengths and things, as well as, I'm sure, their own challenges as well. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who is now considering becoming a teacher?
Oh, my word, do it. I think you have to certainly pause and reflect. That's definitely needed. Teaching is really challenging. But we always say in teaching, your high days are so high. Like, it's, you know, when your kids are just flowing with you, you're having a good day, it's like the best feeling ever. It's so good. And then your low days are very low. So I had a couple in the beginning of this term. It's new school, it was a bit challenging. So as always, it's difficult. So definitely take that into account, I think, you know, if you can ride those highs and lows, which, you know, come with any job, but particularly choppy in teaching. And it's a very social job. You know, you're working with young people. If young people are at the heart of everything you want to do, then absolutely, I think, you know, teaching is a great calling. If you love knowledge and learning, or you're good at explaining things, absolutely, please do. But as always, think, reflect, and pray about it as well. It's a vocation, I think, more than just a job, because it's vision focused. It's not like it's not just an admin job where you go in 9 to 5 and you do your job and you go home. Like, there's a real commitment, because the challenges can be very challenging. You have to always have that vision and mission in your mind to kind of keep driving you through. But absolutely, I mean, I'm biased. I think it's the best job. But yeah, I can still acknowledge its highs and lows and challenges.
So what are some of the challenges?
I've seen this in a number of schools where I can throw myself and all my energy, and it can be all consuming at certain students. I'm like, their behavior might be really bad, or their attainment might be really low. They might have issues at home, whatever it might be. The student is just not kind of really at where they're supposed to be at. And you throw yourself and all your energy and your compassion, your patience, you can try your best, and they're just like not receiving it, or they don't seem to be receiving it in that moment. And it's soul destroying. It's really hard, because I can feel like my heart is like tearing in two almost when a student is really struggling, and what you think you're saying to help them, and they're just not absorbing that, and that's really hard. And you're trying to do it with the greatest love. And that is really hard to do. It's just like the other week, a student is now suspended, and I was trying my absolute best the weeks before, like every lesson. And in my lessons, he's not too bad. He's a bit cheeky, but beyond that, he's great. And every lesson, I can see from all the school records that it's, come on, like, you need to. And there'll be small glimmers of, yeah, I know. And those are the golden moments you have to kind of hinge pin on. But then, you know, the other moments it'll be eye rolls or, you know, whatevers. And when you see kind of things like that, when you're like, oh, no. So it's difficult when you try and use all your love and your passion on something and it's not received. That's a real challenge for sure. But other than that, I'd say it's everything else you expect in any other job. You know, workload is really high, but that's no different from anybody else, I would say. All the other, you know, challenges you can expect to hear from every other teacher, and they'll moan about it always.
How do you pick yourself up when you've had those challenging days?
It's hard. And again, it's the why. And I think, you know, you and I did youth ministry for years, where it's not quite as intense as that, because you only spend brief moments with them. But it's always remembering your why am I here? why have I just, you know, gone home and cried about this student that's really has won't remember anything they said to you or you know, think about what they're doing. But it's the why. It's like, well, no, this student actually deserves a life full of dignity, a life that is, you know, fulfilled and worth living in their eyes. And what can I do to ensure that that happens? And that's kind of, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, learning things is good for us. It's, you know, God gave us a mind for a reason and things to learn. Not only is it fun and engaging, it fulfills us in a way, as well as our kind of, I suppose, our spiritual and material needs. So no, it's certainly, it's hard on those days, but the why is always the thing I'll come back to.
And what have you learned about yourself?
That's a big question.
It is a big question.
We always talk about in teaching reflective practice. So at the end of each lesson, you always reflect and think, what could I have done better that lesson? You know, what were the outcomes of that lesson? Did we manage them? Was there something I could have done better to ensure my pupils could have reached those objectives? So it's interesting, and it's a very unique job where actually you're always trying to reflect on not just what you did, but also to a certain extent who you are. Some teachers are very interesting in that when they walk into a classroom, their persona will be the same as it is anywhere else. So it's the same and probably a bit more like me. I have a bit more of an in-classroom persona, mostly because I'm deadly unserious and so unprofessional. It's quite painful. So I can't do that in front of the kids. It would probably get me fired. So there's a certain persona that you have to put up sometimes. So it's interesting each time thinking about who am I, we always use the word modelling, who am I telling my pupils who to be? Am I kind? Am I compassionate? Am I, you know, generous with my time? Am I considerate of others? Am I fair? And all these things are the things that my students pick up on. And so it's challenging because you then begin to see parts of yourself, which sometimes you're like, oh, okay, I didn't know I was quite so patient or quite so, you know, maybe nice to students who maybe don't always act in the same way to you. So it's interesting. But then there's other times when you say, oh, I'm definitely not patient. So it's interesting, I think. Yeah. What have I learned about myself? Each day is something new. Still very much that same nerdy person. I'll be halfway through a lesson and a student will ask me a question. And I know that they'll have a 5-minute break from whatever they're doing because I'll then be like whittering on like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing of what? I'm going to explain to you this. I'm going to tell you about medieval theology. This is going to be really interesting for you. And you know, some of them are really interested, of course, and a lot of them aren't.
Do they know this yet? That like if they ask you a question that you'll go talk about it for like 5-10 minutes and then they can get out doing their schoolwork for that time?
Oh, absolutely. This is a tool in any student's toolkit for getting out of parts of working. And it's so interesting because sometimes my students will be like, oh, sir, like, where's your favourite restaurant? I was like, and then sometimes I instantly like, oh, my word, I absolutely, and I was like, no, I see what you're doing. I was like, you'll have to ask me at the end of break or at the end of the lesson. So yeah, sometimes I get away with it, particularly if it's, you know, on topic. I'll happily, you know, digress and go off topic. But yeah, I do try my best to get them to ask me at the end of the lesson, hopefully not consuming too much of their learning time.
Well, learning is important. So does being a teacher now define you?
I hope not. I think it's a very consuming job, as it's probably made clear, is, you know, there's all this passion and energy and things that you bring to this job. And you know, as I said before, it's more of a vocation than just a job. So it can be like that. And I think from some teachers I've met, it's very much the case. But I hope not. I'm still Charlie who, you know, loves change ringing, that loves a good pub quiz, that cycles about all over the place. I don't know. So I hope it doesn't define me. But also if it does, that's fine. It's something that I truly love and will happily, you know, dedicate my life too. So if it does define me in the end, that's okay. As long as it benefits others.
Are there any stereotypes of being a teacher that you wish to challenge?
This is probably more for pupils or for students than it is for anybody else, in that a teacher will never be mean to be mean, or never reprimand someone for the fun of doing it. I always say it's like, if a teacher does something like that, it's always because they have 30 or so students in a classroom that they're trying to bring on in one direction to get to one place in order to help them achieve, you know, everything they need to achieve. And it can seem so harsh sometimes, I think, from externally. And it's not the case that teachers are necessarily harsh for harsh's sake. It's always a reason behind it. And I think as much as we can be, teachers want to be liked. Teachers want to have a balance. You know, that's why we've gone into teaching, is to help students, not to be mean to them. So, yeah, there's always that. You know, I was speaking to my nieces before, who will say, my teachers are really mean to me. And I was like, well, let's talk about why. And when you unfold it, they're like, oh, okay, I can understand that now. Teachers do moan about an awful lot about, you know, workload, and it's fair. I mean, it's so rarely will work not go home, you know, whether it's marking or essay, you know, marking or whatever, you know, preparation work, it always goes home. So yeah, do we moan about it all the time? We do. Is that a fair stereotype? Probably. Yeah. Should it be defined as? Probably not.
I guess the other stereotype is like, you get 6 weeks off in the summer.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. It is very good summer, you know, we have good holidays for sure. But as you can probably hear, I'm a bit sniffly now. It's half terms, just beginning this week. And I know for the whole week I'm going to be so ill, because you do get burnt out. You know, you have all this energy. You're basically performing for 5-6 hours a day, non-stop, and you're running about doing other things. So, yeah, the holidays, tempting as a stereotype. But, yes, it's not entirely accurate in that you have a lot of work to do in that time, whether it's preparation work. I spent my entire summer holidays doing whole schemes of work in my new role. So it's, yeah, not entirely accurate. This is the whole, you know, big long holidays.
So what do you wish you knew before you became a teacher?
I wish I knew the joy of teaching in a classroom on a good, you know, when you're having one of those good days. I wish that great, I wish I'd felt or knew about that joy and that fulfillment earlier. Because now it's, I mean, I've been teaching for a while now, and it's lovely. But you think, oh, I could have saved time. I could have done this for longer. So in a way, it's almost, you know, that feeling of knowing that you love doing this thing that, you know, brings you joy, that brings you fulfillment, that brings you peace. I mean, it's lovely. You almost think, you know, it'd be lovely to have had that sooner. You know, same when you meet someone that you love, it's like, oh, I wish I met them sooner. That's maybe one thing I would say. That there is still loads of admin and paperwork, but it has a clear vision and focus, and it's, in my view anyway, a lot more manageable than just a pure admin job for me. So, yeah, there's a balance there.
So what are you grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful for the amazing people I have in my life. I'm so thankful for my amazing, loving parents. My parents didn't even go to school. And we grew up on a, despite what the voice sounds like, I realise, we grew up on a really tough council estate. But my parents really loved and cared for me, and they really kind of pushed me when I was at school without, you know, even really realising that what they were doing. So I think I'm really grateful so much always for them and everything they do and have done for me. And continue to do for me. There's been amazing people in my life, not necessarily, I was going to say teachers, but not as in school teachers, but people have taught me so many things. So Father Jim from here at Farm Street has been one of those amazing people in my life who have really helped guide me. I mentioned her earlier, Joanna, from the SVP. has been an incredible compass for so many years and still is, on all things to do with social justice, on how to be a decent person, how to be a half decent Catholic. She's been a real rock for me in my faith. Yeah, there's so many things and people. People, I think, are the things I'm most grateful for, and opportunities. I mean, the Catholic Church is phenomenal. It's been such a place of welcome for me, a place of community. It's everything that I haven't is owing to her, and everything that she has given me over the years, my friends, my community. I went to university, and that was all really because, you know, the church in its various ways encouraged me to do so. And all the communities that was a part of in the church encouraged me to do so. So, yeah, there's so many things to be thankful for and so many people to be thankful. I mean, I could talk about them all day, but I won't. I'll stop because people probably want to eat their dinner or read a book.
Thank you for joining us, Charlie. Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this episode is going to stay with me because of Charlie's decision to follow where he thought God was calling him and to change career and retrain, which can be a really scary decision. How about you? We'd love to hear how Charlie's story resonates with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.